The aerial footage we're now seeing from the Bahamas is astonishing.
That's the mud.
Desperate residents stranded on rooftops, homes, hospitals, other public buildings, and an airport underwater. Entire neighborhoods that look like they've been put through a wood chipper. Hurricane Dorian is one of the most powerful storms ever recorded in the Atlantic. The Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Hubert Minnis, said some parts of his country have been decimated. Communications are also down throughout much of the Bahamas. We spoke with Eddie Wan 2 days ago. On Monday, he told us that he hadn't heard from his family, including his 12-year-old daughter in Abaco, one of the islands hardest hit by Hurricane Dorian. We managed to get through to Eddie again today through his WhatsApp account. He's the chairman of the Bahamas Air and Sea Rescue Association in Grand Bahama. I asked him if he's been in touch with his loved ones.
I have heard just through the grapevine that they are okay, but as far as physically talking to anybody, no, I have not.
All right, well, we'll keep our hopes for them up. We also know that Grand Bahama, just in terms of infrastructure and damage, was one of the hardest hit islands in the Bahamas. What are you seeing today? Hi, Eddie, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Eddie, it's Marco again. I think we just got cut off. Yes.
Yeah, the WhatsApp is hit and miss.
That's okay. We'll keep going until we get as many questions as we can ask. In terms of just sheer damage to the islands, you're in Grand Bahama. It was hit pretty hard. What have you been seeing today?
Not total destruction, but probably 80% of the flood was our biggest concern, which is our biggest problem as well. Just flood, 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 flood. We had people in homes, some people who drowned, hiding in their attics. And we're talking about two-story buildings in some cases, that the water just kept rising and rising. People were 8-10 foot ceilings in their homes or in the attics, and the water just came up in certain areas. I mean, beyond, I can't really talk about it without getting choked up for the most part, but the Basra side of me, you know, you have to work and you have to do what you have to do, but the human part of me is devastated. My sister in Abaco lost her home. My nephew lost their home and his family. My daughter, again, I haven't spoken with her. Every time I think about her, as you just mentioned her name or talk about her, it's choking me up until I can hear her voice or at least talk to her on WhatsApp or some sort of communication of any sort whatsoever I'd be happy with. But right now I'm running around. You caught me right now walking into what we call this command emergency center, because I'll obviously be in Basra. I'm going to meet with the minister of Grand Bahama, Mr. Crazy Thompson, Don Cornish, our island administrator, and several other people right now in the government to try and formulate what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, how we're going to get some food supplies over here, how are we going to feed a lot of people who've lost their homes, they've lost primarily everything they had other than what they're wearing. It's a bad case here in Grand Bahama, and I can only just imagine Abaco, because they're 50 times worse than us.
Well, let's start with the very basics, and that's just rescuing people who have survived the storm. I mean, I know on Monday you were trying to get people out, but, I mean, did the storm mean that you had to suspend rescue operations?
We did when it became impossible and probable to do it without risking other human life, the rescuers, to rescue people. Then, yes, we had to hold off and stand down for a couple hours here and a couple hours there. But virtually we're out there at times we should not have been out there. The winds were 160, 180, gusting. We had some 190s, even case we've got recorded of 200. When we were down around 100 miles an hour, we went out. We went out in Cat 2.
All right, that's okay. He's going great.
Okay, here we go again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna try and stand somewhere that's good.
That's okay. You were saying, Eddie, that you had to stop rescue operations for an hour or two here and there, but you were saying that you had to continue.
Yes, we continued around 100 mile an hour. We did what we could do right up till dark last night. This morning is primarily the water has subsided. Most of it's gone for the most part, and we are rescuing people who are, but it's not a kind of search and rescue now. It's just going out and grabbing them because the water has subsided quite a bit. I mean, almost gone, you know, but now we're looking at the reality of what actually happened afterwards.
As you head into this meeting, Eddie, with officials in Grand Bahama, what is the plan? I mean, what are you thinking in terms of next steps for rescue?
Rescue, we're pretty well looked after. Got the rescue part of it, quote, rescue looked after. Now it's to start to meet the demands of the population to feed them, maybe clothe the ones who don't have clothes. Right now, food and then some shelter for the people who have. But where I'm walking in to start with right now, we got to find out when we're going to have shipping service fired up again out of Florida to Freeport, air and ocean. I got to find out when the port's going to open, when the airport's opening, when, you know, and so on and so forth. Start with them and I'll be right there. I've been in communication with Coast Guard, Nassau, the government liaison officer, the lieutenant commander. They're looking after Abaco. So my personal main focus is Grand Bahama.
Well, you're clearly very busy, Eddie. I can hear that, and I don't want to take too much of your time. But I was just looking at a supply list published by the Bahamian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Things needed like 2,000 blankets, 500 porta potties. How will you be able to receive this material, though, if the airport is completely submerged?
We have a harbor here that we have tropical shipping sails here, Mediterranean shipping sails here, a small ferry out of Fort Lauderdale called Valeria sails here. We have plenty of ocean transport to make it happen. The air is only dire emergency. Get it here now. Food supplies, light stuff, you know, that you can put on an airplane.
What about drinking water? I mean, presumably a lot of the water right now is contaminated.
It could be. We haven't secured that information yet. But no, we have wells here that are fairly good. We might be okay in the water department. We feel like we will be. But again, I won't know that until I walk into this meeting right now.
Final question, Eddie. So many discouraging reports from people on the islands. Where are you finding hope right now?
We're a Christian community. We're a Christian nation. You know, we're very religious and God's our support. And it's, you know, by his grace that I'm even on this phone call with you right now, because I was out in some of that those conditions rescuing people personally. It is with his grace that we're going to follow and we're going to stick with it. His will is his will. What happened has happened. Now we have to move forward.
Eddie Wan, the chairman of the Bahamas Air and Sea and Rescue Association, on the ground in Grand Bahama. Eddie, a lot of people are thinking of you and your family and the people of the Bahamas. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
We appreciate you. Thanks so much. Call anytime.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Dorian is now sending dangerous storm surges up the east coast of the U.S. People in parts of Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas have been warned of life-threatening storm surges in the next few days. Everyone stay safe.